All right. Hello again. Welcome back, or welcome if this is your first time listening. This is The Real World. This is the UBC Film Society's official radio show. We are broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And for some film stock updates, just before we get started, we've got a few switch-ups on the show. We have a very special, not a guest, we have a new co-host.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Hannah. I'm the new co-host. I'm really excited. This is my first episode as co-host. I was a guest about a year ago.
Yeah, we had her on for our episode about Doom Part 2. Mm-hmm. Any real world heads out there who remember that one?
Yeah, you've heard my voice before.
Yeah, she was so good. We brought her back, full-time job.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is your new junior radio liaison. You know, I know we get so much fan mail, so I want to see it all targeting Hannah now. I want Hannah Fan Club.
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's get that started. But yeah, I'm Emma, as per usual. And before we get rolling with all of our usual stuff, we're going to be talking about Greta Gerwig today, which is very exciting. Quick little Film Society update. Tomorrow we're screening Amelie at 6 in the Norm, followed by Tempopo at 8. Hope to see you all there. And if I don't, I'm not taking it personally. You know, I don't even care. Yeah, no. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
She's chill like that.
Yeah, I'm chill. I'm cool. I'm very cool and chill like that. But we are going to get going with some ads, and then we will be right back to launch into our Greta Gerwig extravaganza. So see you all in a bit.
Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild.
Keeping me on the tip of my knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you, this time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this: Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
From 1951 to 1992, First Nation and Inuit children were placed in non-Indigenous communities to live in private homes to attend school. If you or someone you know participated in this program, compensation may be available. For details, please visit boardinghomesclassaction.com or call 1-888-499-1144 for details on eligibility, support, or opting out.
Whoa, hold on. Where are you taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt, where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost.
Come on, plants, let's grow.
All right, so as I mentioned before, today we are talking about Greta Gerwig films, which is so fun because we've never done a full episode for Greta Gerwig before. I think we've touched on some of her films, especially Barbie, like during Oscar season, but we haven't really locked in on her. So for those of you who don't know, quick little background. Greta Gerwig is a filmmaker from Sacramento, with her films Lady Bird, Little Women, and Barbie all receiving Academy Award nominations, and Barbie being the only film from a female director to gross over $1 billion worldwide. So we got to start with Barbie, obviously.
Well, both of us were thinking a lot about kind of the theater-going experience for Barbie, because it was such a big deal with, of course, Barbenheimer, the double feature. I did not do a double feature.
You didn't double feature it.
It was too overwhelming, too intimidating. Yeah. But I did see Barbie 3 times in theaters, and then I watched it in my Cinema 100 class. So I've seen it 4 times, 3 of those times being in theaters with different friends. I went with my mom, too, which definitely watch that movie with your mom. I recommend watch every Greta Gerwig movie with your mom. But yeah, I loved going to the theater to see it. It was so fun. It really felt like, I don't know, everyone was experiencing something totally like off of anything we had seen before, which I mean, you could say that about any movie, but
It was like a really like a communal sense around this movie, which I'm glad came up, because I know like Greta Gerwig has talked like writing the script, because she kind of wrote like during the pandemic and feeling like isolated and disconnected from everyone. So I'm really glad that this communal experience came up in regards to this movie. And I think it was so fun to just like go to a theater and have an event, you know?
Yes, and dress up.
Yeah.
Wear pink. Like, ugh. I did it. I got a tie from Value Village and dyed it pink. I was committed.
Bought clothes for this. Like, I know pink clothes. I was like, I need to for Barbie. I need to pull up for Barbie. But yeah, this is kind of a departure, though, for Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like we're working in reverse. Because, like, this is, you know, a huge movie, obviously. Like, you've got, like, the star power behind this film was absolutely insane. But, like, do you think there's still, like, sort of Greta Gerwigians aspects that you see popping up?
I do. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the dynamics of the characters and, like I said, watch this movie with your mom, because there's definitely that mother-daughter relationship that's very present. And I was thinking about it in preparation for this episode, and, like, there's not just Gloria and Sasha, I think that's her daughter's name, but also kind of for Barbie herself and all the Barbies, this idea of kind of being your own mother in a way, but also being like not just a mother, but kind of having that maternal love with your friends and the like women in your life, and like taking care of each other in that way. So I do think that that is very Gerwig trademark. But it definitely, I think like I think it's interesting too, because perhaps some of that is overshadowed by the fact that it is, you know, a very flashy film.
Yeah.
Big budget, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Like, big studio produced it. A lot more promo than her other films got. But I do still think that it feels like a Greta Gerwig project.
Like, I think it's always interesting when we see these kind of, like, indie darlings, like, make a bit of a shift towards making bigger films. Because sometimes it just, like, totally backfires on them. Like, I think you saw, like, even, I guess the most recent example I can think of is, like, Taika Waititi, where it's like, oh, you get to a level where it's like people kind of go like, no, I've had enough of this, actually.
Yeah, like, kind of, I don't know, like, just an overload of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I think, like, Greta Gerwig brings so much, like, nuance that I really appreciate.
Yeah, like, there's clearly just as much care, like, put into this film as she's putting into stuff like Lady Bird or Little Women, where they are, like, these, they feel a bit more intimate. Like, they are, like, lower budget, obviously. But even with this one, it doesn't feel super corporate, despite the fact that it literally is just, like, a 2.5-hour-long advertisement for Barbie.
For Barbie. Yeah, I agree. I think it still has, like, a warmth to it that separates it from other movies that could, you know, be dealing with the same kind of, like, product-y vibe. Like, I thought it was odd, too, how afterwards, like, people were like, oh, they're going to do, like, a Polly Pocket movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, reason people watched this movie wasn't because it was Barbie. Like, it was because it actually looked like it had an interesting story. And and it had, like, visually really well done.
Oh, my God. The visuals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we also wanted to talk about the set design.
Much. Oh, my God.
Which I think really stands out to me because it's very interactive, like, with the Barbie dream houses turning into the Ken's Mojo Dojo, Mojo Dojo Casa house. And also some of my favorite, like, moments of set design in the film are when they're doing their journey to the real world and then back to Barbie Land, and they have, like, the like the flat,
like the moving
sets.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like, yeah, there is really, like, such a unique interplay with the set here that I think you don't see in, like, Gerwig's other films, because the setting plays, like, a bit of a different role in those. Like, the setting's almost a character. And, like, in this one, the setting's less of a character, more of, like, a very flashy, like, it's aware of its presence in a way.
Yeah, like, it has, like, a stage quality to it, kind of. And just to touch on setting a little bit, I did talk about this in a paper, so that's why I want to bring it up.
Academic up in here.
Oh, yeah, scholarly. no, just kind of, you're talking about, like, place as a character. And obviously California is a really big, a lot of connection to Gerwig. Like you said, she's from Sacramento, and Lady Bird takes place in Sacramento. And I won't get into it too much because we still have to talk about Lady Bird in great detail. But the idea of, like, leaving that place where you're from, that can still mean a lot to you and going somewhere else. And then in, I thought that was interesting, you know, her leaving Sacramento and then now in Barbie, leaving Barbie Land, going to Los Angeles, California, and then, like, choosing to stay there. Kind of interesting.
It is so interesting how a lot of Gerwig's movies kind of deal with this moving on or this, like, growing up. I feel like there's that very central theme.
I love it so much.
Like, it's just, like, it feels like such a universal idea, and she's explored it through so many different lenses. And, like, even the lens of Barbie, like, there's so many different ways that people grow up in this movie. Like, even, like, you know, Barbie, like, she grows into her own person. But then, like, Sasha's, like, growing up. Like, she's sort of, you know, becoming a teenager. And, like, her mom doesn't really know how to deal with this. And, like, all this sort of things. Like, I think that does tie into, again, like, Gerwig's, like, her, like, tendency to go towards, like, mother-daughter relationships and exploring how messy they can be. Like, she really understands the nuances there.
And kind of, like, the root of all things in a way. Which, yeah, I really like that. And I do understand why maybe some people don't, like, Barbie is definitely not my favorite of her films, but I still like it. And I think people discount it a bit too much just because it is, like, you know, a blockbuster, and it's a lot more, it's packaged differently than her other films, but I think there, it's not just style, there is still a lot of substance there.
Like, I think it comes, you know, visually, obviously it's very plastic, but, like, there's so much
it's fantastic
behind it. Literally come on, Barbie, let's go party or whatever. But yeah, no, this is, like, I think I definitely see where you're coming from, and I totally agree. Like, people saw this and they were like, ah, this is just, like, another, you know, indie girl selling out to the big corporates. But I think she infused a lot of herself into this. And it feels like there is moments, like, when Barbie's sitting and she talks to the, like, old lady on the bench. I was getting misty eyed. I was I'm gonna admit it. Like, I was in the theater tearing up a little bit. Like, she still really hits at this, like, poignant core of what it means to be, like, just a person. I feel like all of her films just deal with this, like, the uncomfortability of being a person, like, having to kind of navigate your way in life, and, like, oh my God, like, it all comes down to you. You know, you get to be the arbiter of your fate at the end of it.
Oh my God. This is too much for a Wednesday afternoon.
This is, yeah. We're getting heavy in the studio at, like, 4:15. But on a lighter note, or a different note, I guess, for Barbie, costumes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The costume design in this is insane.
Spectacular.
It's, I think, the same costume designer. Yeah, same costume designer as Little Women. So total, like, you know, there's been a previous relationship there, but total pivot for her.
Yeah.
And I was reading, she was saying that, like, they kept the color palette contained to 15 shades to create the sense of like a very contained that. World.
So yeah.
Like, they were going out and trying to find all these garments in these specific shades, which I think also just shows like the attention to detail and like the passion that is going into this film from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shows, like, you know, you get this artificiality in the costuming that you don't even really think about until it's like you like hear and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. 15 shades.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's so detailed to the point that it doesn't seem like, oh, they did this all on purpose. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, no, that it just works so well.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't even think about like the effort that would have gone into that. And also just like some really nice looking clothes too.
Oh my god.
I love the, I mean, I know it was like Halloween costumed mm-hmm. to death, but the like Western like cowboy.
Oh my god.
Outfits.
Too good.
I love it.
Good.
I need that for Stampede.
No, literally. Yeah. Any of our Calgary folks out there, we better see.
Shout out.
Full Ken next Stampede or I'm not going.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, every single like costume in that, I remember like sitting there watching being like, Halloween's going to go crazy mm-hmm. this year.
I'm trying to think of the one. Does she wear like a yellow? At the when it's like the kind of dreamy, she's wearing like a yellow dress. I really liked that.
Yeah.
Because that's probably one of the only instances that she's not wearing like pink or blue, I would say.
Yeah.
So.
And I think like that, such an intentional departure mm-hmm. really like helps it stand out. Like in my mind, that like final scene definitely mm-hmm. makes it more impactful.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, visually, this is another like, yeah, stunning film. Like we've already kind of touched on set, but even like just how much it looks like a dollhouse is truly mm-hmm. like mind-blowing to me.
Well, and something I've like seen, I haven't seen Wicked, but mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people kind of complaining that like for a movie that, you know, is obviously the source material is Wizard of Oz, which is like Technicolor, oh my gosh, Yellow Brick Road, Emerald City. From what I've heard, like Wicked is not very like colorful film, and I feel like they should have looked at Barbie and seen like what you can do, like when you just embrace that and like make it as like theatrical. I'm doing air quotes right now.
Yeah,
as possible.
Yeah, no, go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of going big, soundtrack. Oh yes. My god!
Yeah, lots of people on there.
Like. Absolute heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Like you've got like Charlie XCX, you got Billie Eilish, you got.
Well, I like to mention that Tame Impala's on this because I feel like not a lot of people know that, but he did the like Journey to the Real World.
Yeah. Which is so crazy.
There's songs that like weren't, or like were just briefly in the movie, but didn't really get as much of a moment as, say, like Billie's What Was I Made For or Charlie XCX's Speed Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dominic Fike has a song in it, which is really cute. Little like, I don't know. I really like the soundtrack as well, because when this movie came out, it was like, oh my gosh, now I have like something to listen to on the way home from this movie. And it's like so like summery and happy, and it totally like matched the vibe. And yeah, I saw it with my one friend, and then I remember driving home and I was on like a pretty empty like roadway mm-hmm. and I was listening to Speed Drive, and I wasn't speeding. But I felt the rush.
Yeah. Reasonable speed drive.
Yes. But no, just great choices, I think. Like, and again, if we're talking about a kind of like flashy, like plasticky, you know, potential of the film.
Yeah.
I think like, it has that like star power in the soundtrack. But the songs are just really like cute. And like, you know, obviously What Was I Made For is brutal. Brutal song. That would come on all the time last year eating in the dining hall.
Yeah.
And me and my friend would. And it seemed like every time that it would come on, there would be like a family in the dining hall with like young kids. And we were like, what's going on?
Crazy.
Like someone's trying to make us cry in an open kitchen right now.
like 7 a.m. They're like, Yeah, bump that Billie Eilish.
Yes.
We want to see the students crying before their 9 a.m.s.
They succeeded.
Yeah.
But really love the soundtrack. Did we want to play?
Yeah. I think we've got a sort of not like as big of a hit. Like it's definitely people know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people know the soundtrack. But this is Angel by Pink Panthers, which didn't get as much airtime as like What Was I Made For? But
a banger nonetheless.
Yeah. So We'll be right back after Angel by Pink Pantheress.
What? Okay, this is going well. It's actually... Yeah. Okay, Lady Bird is next, right? Okay. So I kind of wanted to talk about my, like... Because I've seen it three times. And I want to talk about my first, second, and third watches and, like, the evolution of my, like, connection with this movie. And just, it's so relatable. And, like, oh, I don't know, liking and missing where you were from. And the idea of, like, wanting to go to, like, the culture, where the culture is. And one of my favorite moments is like, telling her, like, she's like, no, I just, like, notice things. And she's like, aren't, like, noticing and, like, loving, like, the same thing. I can't do it. And then obviously we have to talk about the mother. I move around way too much. I'm like going like this the whole time. The mother-daughter relationship. And so I know we mentioned like the, when they are in the store and they're arguing and then they're like huffing to each other, to her, themselves. And then they like, she's like, wait, look at this dress. And they're like, oh my God, I love that moment. It's so like, it just feels so real. And then the liking versus loving conversation. Okay, and then I'll read from the... We'll let the conversation go, but before we do the song, I can, like... Why don't you just, like, give me a signal when you want to, like, start getting to the song? And then I can be, like, transition into it and, like, read from the book, and then... and there is, like... the letter.
All right, we are back from Fiddle Breakdown. That's yes. Crazy.
Which, why didn't that song like blow up? I love a good fiddle breakdown.
Yeah. No, literally. But yeah, that was Barbie. So we are pushing on to our next Greta Gerwig film. Lady Bird.
Woo! My personal favorite.
Yeah, this one is a banger. How many times have you seen this?
I've seen this one three times, so actually one less time than Barbie. But to be fair, fourth time was for a class, so
yeah.
Does it count? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I've seen it three times. Actually, technically the third time I watched this was... No, the second time I watched this was for a class, but forget what I said before. the first time I watched it... it was like probably a year after it came out. I didn't see it in theaters. My mom and I watched it just at home. And I was like, oh, yeah, like that was a good movie. But, you know, whatever. It was cute. I didn't really think too much of it.
Yeah.
And that was when I was in like grade 8, I think. Second time I watched it was in grade 12 for an English class, for English 30. And, oh, my gosh. It was like it was in second semester of grade 12. So, you know, waiting to hear back from UBC and being like, okay, I think I want to move away from home for school, which is very much mirrors the plot of the movie itself. So it was like, it hit very hard and we were watching it in class. And I remember like trying to hold back my like tears class. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, like, but I had such a good English teacher. So then I was like, oh, I'm so glad that you played this movie for us. And then I wrote an essay about that too. There's a bit of a pattern going here.
I wonder if you like writing essays about Greta Gerwig. Like
maybe just a little bit. But I watched it the third time to like gather quotes and stuff, and I watched at home and I just was like bawling because it was like, oh my God, like this is my life. Like I'm going away for school. Like I know that now. And again, mother-daughter relationships, like everything about it, I was just like, this is such a good movie. And I like, this is like, I think it's my favorite movie, like
all time. You think
maybe?
Oh
my gosh, I don't know. I'm a Lady Bird truther. Like,
that's
this
cool.
Is, it's just so good. And it was devastating. I did well on the essay, though, so that was good.
There you go.
How many times have you seen it?
I I've seen it twice, actually. Okay. And I had a similar experience to you where, like, the first time I watched it, I was like, yeah, that was fine, but I didn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second time I saw it, yeah, I was in my first week at university, so I just, like, moved here. Shout out Film Society. Actually, they screened it.
Okay.
Double feature. So.
Let me just jump in quickly and say that when I was, like, I told myself that in my, like, first week of being here, I was like, I'm going to watch that movie to, like, really, yeah, like, really drive really home the point. And then I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that. That actually is, like, a little bit.
It was devastating. Very intense emotional blow right off the bat. It was like, oh, my God, new school, new place, Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And I definitely, like, the themes just resonated so much more. Like, it's definitely one of those movies where timing is everything with it.
100%.
Like, if you are, like, going into save this movie for, like, end of grade 12, beginning of university. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the ideal time to watch this movie if you haven't seen it yet. Because it is just, it becomes so much more affecting and, like, poignant when you start being like, oh, my God, wait, she's low-key so mean.
Yeah, I agree. Imagine doing, like, a grad party.
Oh, my God.
Like, watch
killing,
this
killing the vibe at the grad party with Lady Bird.
I mean, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. The themes are just so relatable because even if you don't relate directly to you know, the mother-daughter relationship or, like, mother-child relationship, or moving away for school, but just the idea of, like, starting somewhere new and kind of leaving one thing behind and sort of taking a little bit for granted what you have around you and not realizing how much it's shaped you.
Yeah.
Until you're like, oh, my God, I'm saying goodbye to this thing and... Yeah, so I really just love it so much.
Yeah. And this is another film that's also really going into that, like, mother-daughter relationship in a way that is more overt than Barbie. Like, that's very much the core center of this film is Lady Bird's relationship with her mother.
Yes, and which both Saoirse Ronan and Laurie Metcalf are excellent.
Every performance in this feels like it's just so insane. But especially those two. Like, they're absolutely the stars of the show. Like,
they just, you really would think that they're actually mother-daughter because they have, like, everything down, Pat, where it's like, oh, no, like, these people have actually lived a whole, like, you know, Lady Bird's 18. Like, they've known each other for 18 years. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And just so impressive. And we both agree that a couple of our favorite... Okay, obviously the opening scene is so good.
Yeah.
In the car when Lady Bird opens the door and then has a broken arm for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So good.
So much fun.
Just such a amazing opening. Yeah. And it really shows you their characters. Like,
yeah, right off the bat. And, like, her with that, like, pink cast.
Yes.
Like, Greta Gerwig stays making Halloweenable costumes.
I was just, like... going to say, like, I know two people who have dressed as Lady Bird. And I'm like, I should add to the list.
I was about to say, you could be the third. You can make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on top of that, love the scene when they're in, like, the consignment shop. And they're arguing about something. I don't know what. I think Lady Bird is just like, oh, you, like, you get annoyed by everything. Like, you know.
Like, you're just having, like, a petty, like, disagreement.
Yeah, and they're, like, you know, a couple meters apart, and they, like, turn to the rack, and they're just, like, going through it, like, huffing.
Yeah.
And then her mom, like, pulls out a dress or, like, a shirt or something. She's like, oh, my gosh, look at this. And she turns, and they just go back. Like, they've never, they weren't just arguing.
Like, the vibe just immediately switches. And that's, like, that's how it is.
It's like, what real relationships can be like sometimes, especially when it's someone that you spend so much time with. Like,
it's, like, not every argument's going to be this big explosive thing that, like, you build to over, like, years and years of, like, pent-up tension. Like, it's just going to be, like, you're just squabbling.
Yes.
You know?
And then you forget about it immediately after. I just love that. And then another time when they're in the store. Oh, this is so devastating.
Oh.
And Lady Bird's shopping for her prom dress. And she comes out of the dressing room, the fitting room, and... They're talking about, like, she's like, you know, do you like me? Or, and her mom's like, of course I love you. And she's like, they're different. Like, loving and liking. It's like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, I feel like, I don't know, that scene in particular, really, it's just like, wow, like, Greta Gerwig, like, she like put it into words, like yeah. something that I feel like so many people experience, like just like wow, like she yeah. she said it, and it's so heartbreaking.
I feel like that's one of Greta Gerwig's like definite like strengths as not only like a filmmaker but as a writer, mm-hmm. is that she really understands like these little nuances of people. Like there are just these little like moments in all the characters, yeah. and I feel like they invite like a sort of recognition. Like even like the character of the dad who we don't yes. see as much of. Oh. Like there were so many like little like dad-isms where I'm like, oh my god, that's my dad. Yeah. You know?
No, everyone in this like in Lady Bird's family just like mm-hmm. so like I said, they really like function as a unit.
Yeah.
And you can really see it. And I agree, like she writes with such like nuance and truth, I think, that yeah. you know, she doesn't try to make her characters,
yeah,
they're just like people, and I love that. And I also think that's really well done in this movie, especially because it takes place like over like a year, let's say, like right
yeah.
starting her last year of high school yeah. to graduation and moving to New York. And it goes through the seasons. You see Thanksgiving and different things. I don't know if you see Christmas, but, you know,
I think different get a moment of it, yeah.
big moments. And I think that really, it could have been like, oh, we're rushing. We don't actually see these characters. Like, what?
Yeah.
None of this is being built up. But it's like, no, this is just like, and also to think about how fast a year goes by, I think. And the changes over a year
yeah.
of like starting one thing. It's ending now, and mm-hmm. you're starting something new, and the excitement and the fear. And
I love, like, it also, like, kind of focuses on, like, the little moments, like, in between. It's like we mm-hmm. see, like, you know, obviously we see, like, her big night when she performs in the school play or whatever. But yeah. that's less of a focus is put on that than, like, the whole, like, rehearsal process leading mm-hmm. up to it. It's, like, these little, like, mundane in-betweens.
Which I love, and I just want to, like, you know the, he's, like, the priest.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's so good.
That yeah. who he was in Dune, by the way.
Whoa.
That actor. But I don't know his name. I'm gonna quickly
back to Dune. Yeah,
look it up. Because he's just so good. His name is Stephen McKinley Henderson, and he's just yeah. like
he kills it.
Oh, so he and kills I like it. I like that you bring that up, like those little moments, because you know these seemingly like little characters, mm-hmm. they actually really contribute.
Yeah.
To the narrative and to Lady Bird's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was also my first Timothy Chalamet watch.
Really?
I think so.
I think this might have been where I folded as well. Because I had people who know me well know that I had a period where I wouldn't watch anything Timothy Chalamet was in. Just out, like, I didn't hate him or anything. Mm. I just thought it was kind of a funny bit to continue. But now that guy's in everything. So clearly that's not, like, at all feasible if I want to be able to engage with the culture. And I think this is where I finally cracked. I was like, I don't even care anymore. Like, Timmy's going to be in it regardless of whether I want him to be or not. I might as well watch it. And then, mm-hmm. like, obviously it was great.
Yeah.
And I've since seen other movies Timothy Chalamet has been in, but I think this might have been the first one I ended up watching.
Yeah. Kyle.
God. What a guy.
She wrote everything she needed to about that character when yeah. she named him Kyle.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Ugh.
But I think we did have one final point about this.
Yeah.
You had a little, because you've got the screenplay book.
I do. I have the screenplay book. My mom got it for me. And I'm going to read, because in the book, there's also letters that Greta Gerwig wrote to a few musicians whose songs are in the film. And one of those being Dave Matthews Band. And she wrote a letter to Dave Matthews. And the Dave Matthews Band song Crash Into Me is in the film. And I'm just going to read what she wrote because it's quite cute and she has some good points that I like. Dear Mr. Dave Matthews, I love your music. Your albums were my first CD purchases. I made my dad take me to see you and your band perform when you came to Sacramento. I would turn off all the lights in my room and lay on the floor and play Before These Crowded Streets on a loop and imagine what it would be like to be in love, to go on a road trip, to have wild adventures, to create art, to be a person in the world. I think that when you're a teenager, music is the way you try to imagine the future. Life always seems like it's happening somewhere else, and definitely not to you, and so through art, you try to connect to that bigger world. The song Crash Into Me was and is the most romantic song ever. It is sincere and loving and tender and epic. In my film, Lady Bird, it is used twice. First in a heartbroken, yearning moment of teenage pain. Then later, it is used as the turning point when our heroine, played by Saoirse Ronan, comes into her own, declares her love for the song and what she actually cares about in life. It is impossible for me to imagine this movie without it. And then she goes on and she says that she's attached the script pages and if he has any questions, she would love to talk with him more. And it says, I wish I could go back in time and tell my 16-year-old self that this moment was coming. She'd never believe me. And truth be told, my 32-year-old self hardly can believe it either.
Wow.
So with that.
Yeah, let's hear it. This is the most romantic song ever, according to Greta Gerwig.
I agree with her on most things. Don't know about that, but we're playing it anyways.
Exactly. You guys, let us know, you know, what do you think? Is Crash Into Me the most romantic song ever? Let's give it a listen and we'll see.
Twisted the way I like to be.
right. That is Crash Into Me by the Dave Matthews Band.
What do you think? Is it the most romantic song ever?
Ooh, I think that one's still up in the air for me. I don't know. Sorry, Greta. I don't know if I see it, but it's definitely a song that feels very like adolescence. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see like why she picked this for this movie.
Yeah, especially with her own connection to it. So
yeah,
had to play it.
Yeah.
For our last movie that we're gonna be talking about, Little Women.
Little Women. So I guess I'll start by asking, like, when did you first see this film? Was this like another home watch, sees in theaters?
I did not see it in theaters. I watched at home. My friend came over around like Christmas time. I think it was grade 11 or 12, so a few years ago. And we watched it because she is one of three sisters, so very, you know.
This movie was like, Little Women was made for her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she would watch it with her sisters and showed it to me. And then I've seen this one twice.
Yeah.
It's 4, 3, 2. I just haven't seen them. but yeah, I've seen this one twice because then I showed it to one of my friends. Mm-hmm. And both times watched at home, and I'm sure it would have been lovely to see in theaters, but it's also really nice to see at home, like curled up on the couch.
Oh, this is such like a cozy film as well. Like,
yeah.
I feel like at home, you got like a warm drink, you know, you're tucked in for the night. That's kind of the way to see it. Like,
I agree. I just in my notes I literally just said warm fuzzy feels, which this movie definitely has.
Yeah. Which is, it's always so interesting, like, the movies we quantify as, like, fuzzy. So I'll be like, oh my god, such a cozy movie. And they'll be like, yeah, doesn't, like, Beth die in this? It's like, don't worry about it.
That's, no one needs to bring that
beyond
up.
Beyond the point. Listen to the score and look at the pretty colors.
Yes.
And just.
The snow, the landscape.
Wrapped up all warm with the little, like, paper stars and, like, the little New England Christmas. Like, such a fun time.
Yeah. I haven't seen any other adaptation. I haven't read the book or seen any other adaptations of this.
This is it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm curious. Have you seen or read anything else?
I've read Little Women. And I've seen this one. And I was in a play for Little
Women.
No
way. Who were you?
I was Meg.
That's Emma Watson, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Emma Solidarity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This is actually, I watched this movie just after I finished the play because it was like, you know, the director was like, yeah, don't watch anything from the, like, any material beforehand. So I watched this one, like, right afterwards. And it was definitely, I'm glad I did because I feel like it's so easy to just take on, like, what these characters bring because they are all portrayed with such nuance in these films. Like, especially for me, I think the standout role is kind of Florence Pugh. Like, this was kind of like her breakthrough, I feel like.
Yeah, honestly. Well, when did Midsommar come out?
I feel like the same year, just like just after.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it was a good year to be Florence Pugh. Yeah, she. Well, okay. I always hear people talk about this because she plays like the young version of her character, which is like, she's acting just like a total like little brat.
Yeah.
But it looks just like Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
But so I think that's really funny that she like does that.
Yeah.
But then she does do a really good job. And I think like obviously like you have to talk about Laurie. Timothy Chalamet again coming
up. God, I can't escape him.
But yeah, just like because the you know, central relationships of Joe and Laurie and then Laurie and Amy, like so complicated.
Yeah.
But I think she does such a good job of like Florence Pugh that is like that kind of like being conflicted because it's like, yes, this is someone that you like, you have had like a little kind of like crush on.
A little crush, yeah.
But also like, oh, he's very obviously in love with your sister.
Yeah. And you're supposed to be like, all right.
But you are gonna marry him
because,
you know, so many reasons. But and I really like, you know, her being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And having that aspect of her personality. Yeah. I'm curious, though, because you have read the book.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it compares as an adaptation of the book and specifically talking about the performances?
I think they're definitely, like, Greta Gerwig has a sense of, like, frankness that she's given these characters. I find, like we were talking about, like with the like dressing room scene in Lady Bird, where she just puts these things in the words that are like normally would have been subtextual. Like even Amy's, like all of her monologues about like not wanting to be second choice and this sort of thing, like that's still a theme that's obviously very present in the novel, but in this adaptation specifically, it's put forth in such a way that if it hadn't been done with so much tact, it would feel like sloppy, or like I would be like, oh, okay, like, you know, the writer just doesn't know how to use subtext. But
yeah,
very clearly Greta Gerwig has a like expert grasp of what can remain subtextual and what can be brought forth into the actual spoken text to further like a character.
Yeah.
And I think she does that really well with Amy in particular in this, like really just fleshes out like her desire to both be this, like, you know, to live this lavish lifestyle and to not be like constantly second choice to Joe. I feel like that like theme comes up so much in the book, and then it's really just becomes that much more prominent in this version of the film.
I'll have to read the book.
Yeah.
But I agree, like knowing that this is something that she could talk about more in her her version of this story without it being like, okay, we know that's already like part of it, like you don't need to do this, or I don't know, I think it does work really well, and obviously like having Florence Pugh play that character really works in her favor, because someone who she's really good. Like I feel like I haven't done sort of like a deep dive of her. I've definitely seen her in a few movies.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of like another kind of Timothy Chalamet character, where it's like,
oh, they're both in like Doom Part Two.
Yeah, you know? There you go. She's marrying him again.
Yeah, my gosh, it all comes back to Dune.
Yeah, but just kind of hard to avoid in a good way. And yeah, so I think she's definitely the right person for the job to kind of take this character who could have been like just a second thought or a second choice and be like, no, we're actually going to look at her a little deeper.
Yeah. And I feel like that sort of, like these levels of nuance are also, they kind of translate to the score as well. Because I know the composer, Alexander Desplat, he wanted to work with more restrained orchestration because he wanted the like unconventional score to kind of help support this more like unconventional storytelling, like in particular like the non-linearity. So he really like made this very contained sort of orchestra to give it like a smaller like homey feel, like you're still getting that sense of like grandeur and like scope that comes with the story, but it's not as pronounced as it might be in other adaptations or other period pieces. You get the big orchestra ballroom music, and here it's very small, and like that's kind of like what Little Women is, you know, it's just this like glimpse into their lives.
Exactly.
And one of the standouts I think off the score is Christmas Morning, which we're gonna play for you guys right now. So this is Christmas Morning by Alexander Desplat.
Thank you.
right. That was Christmas Morning by Alexandra Desplat. And this has been The Real World. We're at the end of the hour, if you guys can believe it, of our Greta Gerwig extravaganza and Hannah's first official episode.
Yay!
So we're all very glad. You know, this has just been a great time.
Yeah. Overall,
and very excited to be going forward in the future.
Mm-hmm. It was super fun. First episode.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Emma, for being such an amazing co-host. Oh,
thank you. Same to you. Same to you. I'm looking forward to all of our future episodes together.
Me too.
A great time. But as for you guys, you know where to find us. 4 to 5 CITR every Wednesday. You know the drill. Have a great rest of your week and hope to hear you all listening in next week. All right. See you guys.